Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, and we're here in beautiful Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP 2016. And my guest is Steve Grunwell. Now, Steve, you are a senior web engineer at TenUp?
Correct.
Very good. Say hello to everybody, Steve.
Hello.
Now, Steve, you're speaking here at Sunshine, and you have a very interesting topic, taking the web offline. Explain yourself.
All right. Well, it's actually a case study based on a project that we did at TenUp where we had built a tool for a sales team so that they could present all of the different materials that they have as they go to their various customers. And the sales team was like, well, we love it, but we don't always have Wi-Fi.
This
is becoming problematic. So we went back and forth, and it's like, well, do we create an app and try to build everything in, but we want to make sure everything's staying up to date. So we ended up, spoiler alert, creating a backbone app that synchronizes all of its data through Dropbox. Mm-hmm. So WordPress pushes data out to Dropbox. That gets synchronized down to the sales team members' individual machines.
Oh, cool.
Gets pulled into this backbone application. And then with phase two, we took it a step further, wrapped it all in Electron, so they have a single application that they just go, oh, great, I have the sales tool. Mm-hmm. When they are connected to the internet, they're able to get the latest data, but their data is always going to be reasonably up to date, super easy for them to use, and really a fun project to work on.
So now this isn't a presentation tool. This is their live sales data that they're looking at. Sales contacts, notes, and all of that?
No, it is a sales presentation.
Okay, so it is a sales presentation.
Making sure that they have all of the assets. So, you know, if they're selling this product and there are three videos, yep, two PDFs, a PowerPoint, all associated with that, they can select those. And one of the things that the online tool has was you can actually say, oh, I want to take these assets, bundle them up into a zip file, and send them to the customer. So,
Cal,
I've been talking to you about this product, and I want to make sure you have all these assets after the meeting, so I'm going to send them to you. And we actually found a way to preserve that functionality in a way that when it does go back online, there's a message queue and it can go, great, let me send these asset IDs back to WordPress. WordPress can figure out how to bundle up the zip file as we've been doing online, mm-hmm, and sending them out.
That is cool. Now, have you all open sourced this or are you jealously hoarding this?
At this point, it's all the IP of our client.
Oh, okay. It's a client project. Okay.
Yes, but it's definitely something that's opened a lot of possibilities as far as, you know, the web minus the online component.
Yeah, and honestly, when you said it, I when you told me the topic of your talk, I really didn't know where you were going with that. I mean, you know, we have static generators like Sculpin, and I mean, forever we've had WordPress plugins that will generate static files and use those instead of the dynamic stuff. And so, silly me, I just assume, well, they're doing something like that and pushing that down to the browser, and so you can browse a website offline. It's much more powerful than that, and it's very impressive. I assume your client is happy with this?
Yes, they love it. And actually, I think our client's a little jealous that I'm here talking about it because she was saying, if you want to tell us, you know, conferences you want us to go to and preach how great this is, we'd be happy to do it because we absolutely love it.
Well, having a client wanting to go preach how good a job you did, that's not a bad problem
not
to have.
All.
But then again, I'm sure with TenUp, now I don't know if everybody knows who's TenUp. I know several of you from TenUp. I know Helen, I know you, I know Eric. And every time I interact with somebody from TenUp, I walk away impressed. So I'm sure this is not a problem that is isolated to this one customer for y'all. Y'all do an awful lot and work with a lot of big companies bringing WordPress to very large sites.
Oh, yeah. It's been really fun talking to some people here at Sunshine PHP who are like, oh, WordPress. Yeah, I don't really do much with blogs. And I'm like, oh, it's so much more than blogs. And that's one of the things that really drew me to TenUp, because even before I was part of the team, you know, I was trying to make WordPress do things beyond just the traditional WordPress-y things. Yep. You know, building applications, using it more as a back-end application platform and building things on top of that. Of course, recently with WordPress 4.4 and the WordPress REST API hitting core, we've gotten a lot of cool things. Like you see Calypso from Automattic, where they went, no, let's actually build an application that interfaces with WordPress but is not WordPress.
Yeah.
So just being on a team where people look at it not as, you know, oh, this is just a tool that does X, Y, and Z, but this is a platform that we can make it do what we want it to
and
do.
And I saw that a few years ago. A few years ago, I said, hey, I don't have to use WordPress for a blog. They've got Pages. I can just use it as a regular content management system. I can just put static pages up. And then more recently, I set up a program this past fall called the CFP Report. And I was looking at how I wanted to do this because it's in essence, it's a mailing list manager, but I did not want to just put an email in and have it send the same email to everybody. I wanted each person to get a custom-generated email. And I got to realizing when I started looking at the tools available, WordPress's user management is one of its strengths. And I can build dang near anything, and I don't have to build user management or roles and all that. So I took that, I hooked in Mandrel's email system, and wrote maybe 300 lines of code. And now everybody, 600 people now get individual emails every Wednesday morning that says, these are the CFPs that you said you're interested in.
Those are the highlights of my Wednesday mornings, if I'm being frank.
I did not realize you were a member.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you touched on something really important there. And the WordPress permission system, the roles and capabilities, from the outside, it looks very basic. Oh, you have an administrator, you have an editor, you have an author. But when you look at it as the roles are simply groupings of capabilities, and you can get very granular, and you can create your own capabilities. Plugins can say, oh, you know, a user has to have this particular thing. Maybe administrators have that out of the box. That tends to make sense, you know, letting admins do things. But you can create whole new groups of users. You can give specific users capabilities and say, you know, this user can access these four, you know, posts in these four categories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool, interesting stuff.
And quite honestly, I tell this to a lot of people. Customers have a tendency to say, I just need. And my favorite example of that is, I just need a shopping cart. And when a customer says that, I say, okay, well, if you just need a shopping cart, then you just need a way for somebody to enter data. So now you just need an administrator, and then you might need this. You've got to build this entire permissions system because they just need a shopping cart. Well, WordPress, for me, has solved that. I never have to build another user admin system. What I have to do is build the plugins I need for WordPress, turn off the functionality I don't want, and I got it done. But the kicker to me with the CFP report, and the CFP report drove it home to me, was 300 lines of code, and I'm done. You know, and I'm a PHP programmer. I love coding. But the reason I love WordPress is I can do so much with that. And that's 300 lines of code and 10 plugins. You know, I went and spent the time to find the plugins that would do the registration the way I wanted and the categories the way I wanted. And MailChimp's WP Mandrel plugin is, I run that on everything because I don't have to run mail server at all now, you know. But 10 plugins and 300 lines of code and I'm done, you know.
And the fact that you're able to find plugins that aren't just these overarching, oh, you want one for running a filterable mailing list solution, but things that go like, hey, I'm going to do one thing and do it really well.
And those are the ones I look for.
Oh, those are
the best. I don't look for the all-encompassing. I look for, I do this one thing.
My first WordPress plugin, actually, which I wrote back in 2010, was WP Password Generator. And it was simply one of my coworkers at the time was like, hey, we need an easy way to generate passwords for new users. Because, you know, it's always like, okay, it's your last name and change your password and stuff. And it's like, well, that seems like a pretty easy solution. So I wrote it's just a button powered by JavaScript that you click, hey, generate password, and it fills out the password form. And that was when WordPress was still emailing it and before they built in the native password generation capabilities, which were Is that 4.1?
4.1 was the password generation. They just got rid, though, of the emailing. Sending, yeah.
So I've had to sadly sunset WP password generator, but by far it was like my most popular. It was amazing going, I just released my first plugin on WordPress.org, and within a few weeks, like 1,000 downloads. And people
That's
are like,
awesome.
This should be in core. This, well, fast forward a few years, and there it is.
Yeah. But. Well, I've got you beat. We got plugins for WordPress, I think, in 1.5, and I wrote my first plugin, I believe, in 2005, might have been 2006, okay? This was back when AOL Instant Messenger was the thing.
What, it isn't anymore?
And it was it put a graphic in your sidebar if you were online or whether you were online or not. And it would use the API to make the call and do it. And I had like 3 plugins like that, and I called them Blog Bling because they did nothing serious, but they were just a little bling you could put. Speaking of plugins, thank God Nason took those out of the repo, the plugin repo a few years ago.
Nothing on the internet's ever really dead, though.
Yeah. I'm sure there's still a copy of it somewhere. Somebody's going, wait, AOL Instant Messenger? Speaking of plugins, you've got a really cool, well, it's not a plugin, but it's an add-on for WordPress developers that use Composer.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. Tell us about this.
Okay. Little package called WP Enforcer. Recently, I had moved from a senior web engineer to an engineering manager at TenUp, and then they restructured a bit, and now there aren't EMs, so I'm back to a senior web engineer. But I was doing a lot of code reviews, and seeing some people, you know, struggle with the same problems over and over. And like, there are the WordPress coding standards and general PHP, you know, best practices. TenUp also has our own set of best practices. Mm-hmm. We open sourced those a couple years ago and are still actively updating them. So you get into things like, you know, making sure that all input is being sanitized properly and that we're late escaping all of the output. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're running anything on WordPress.com VIP, they have very stringent guidelines. So I wanted to find a way to make this easier and help my developers so that they're not making the same mistakes, you know, getting things flagged in code review of, oh, well, you forgot to escape that, and you're not checking, you know, that get variable is sanitized before using it. So I wrote this package. For a long time, I've been thinking Git hooks would be a great way to do this. Like, on a Git hook, run PHP code sniffer with the WordPress coding standards and pick up on a bunch of this. But Git hooks are one of those things that, because they're configured in your local copy of the repository, not in the global one, just because you clone the repo, that doesn't mean you have the hooks.
Yeah.
And you can put them in a bin directory or whatever you want, but that's still a pain point. And especially for development purposes, like PHP unit, WP mock, all of that, we're installing it through Composer. So doing a Composer package made a lot of sense. And you can set up your Composer post command and post install, post install and post update hooks to run scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So I created this package, WP Enforcer, that configures PHP code sniffer and provides the Git hook, copies it into your local .git/hooks directory for the repo, and then within your Composer config, you know, you say, well, I want to run WP Enforcer, and whenever anyone installs my Composer package, I want it to automatically run the installation script in vendor bin WP Enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if you've installed the Composer dependencies for your package, it's also automatically setting up those Git hooks for you.
Cool.
So while our developers are already doing, you know, Composer install to make sure I have all of my development dependencies, they're also getting coding standards kind of thrust upon them.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then I made the mistake originally of writing it in Bash. And I'm terrible at writing Bash. Brad Parbs helped me out a lot going through and going, this is clearly the first time you've done Bash. Let me lend you a hand. So I've been working on a new version that's actually written in PHP. Because, of course, you can run PHP on the command line. And if you're using PHP code sniffer, you already meet those minimum requirements. But I figured rather than just rebuilding exactly what I have, I'd build it more as a framework that can be used for other non-WordPress applications. So that's where GitHooked came out of. I admit the name needs some work, but it's a composer package that's a framework for installing GitHooks in the same way that WP Enforcer does. And then the new version of WP Enforcer will use GitHooked, and basically it just becomes a Russian stacking doll of dependencies. But the idea is just to try to take some of that difficulty out of using GitHooks, especially when you're dealing with composer packages.
Very cool. I know that from a manager standpoint, this gives you very clean code and what you want. From a developer standpoint, it probably pisses your developers off because I forgot that one.
There are ways to bypass. I mean, it's still running PHP CodeSniffer, so you can kind of say, yeah, just ignore. Or no, with the GitHook itself, you can bypass.
Now, do you you have sniffs for the WordPress, but you also have sniffs for 10ups standards and all that?
The 10up standards are really rather in line with the WordPress coding standards. And with any sort of automated code review tool, that doesn't replace a real code review.
No.
But it's there to help people, you know, so that they're going, oh, yeah, that's just something Steve's going to catch, and it's going to add time and everything, so I'll just take care of it now.
Yeah.
And then recently I also... while we're on the topic of PHP CodeSniffer, just last week I was doing some code reviews on like some large feature branches, and I'm like, okay, I don't care about the white space. we don't need it to be perfect.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that this stuff's being caught. So I did a very select set of PHP CodeSniffer sniffs say like, okay, focus on the sanitization and things, but ignore white space, or like if some variable names are kind of weird. We were doing some work on some legacy code. You know, we don't want to have to go through and say, well, this method name, according to the WordPress coding standard, should be in snake case, but this is in camel case. And it's like, let's not focus on that. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes. And I got approval from leadership to actually open source that as well. So now there's a 10up repo of PHP CodeSniffer standards for WordPress that basically just say these are the things that you really need to focus on.
We'll throw a link to that in the show notes, because I'm sure a lot of our developers that work with WordPress will enjoy seeing that. So,
yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us today, Steve. Before I let you go, same two questions to ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
There are plenty of local user groups in Columbus. There's the Columbus PHP, which is great. It's on meetup.com. As are the local Laravel WordPress, and I'm sure plenty of others that I have yet to explore.
Okay, well, thank you for that. We'll Kathy will dig those up and throw a link in the show notes to them so people can find it. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. And you're here speaking at this conference, so I want to say thank you for putting yourself out there, sharing what you know so the rest of us can get better.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.